The sermon you are about to hear is true. It's true. By the time you hear the ending, well, you may wish it wasn't. In the year 1999, a local maritime newspaper, of which I have a copy, produced a story that was titled Closer to Heaven. Closer to Heaven. It was written by a columnist by the name of David Swick. I, having left the Catholic Church some years prior, when the Lord had drawn me to his son, well, I was pleased to be on the outside looking in. The secondary heading for Mr. Swick's column, and I quote, said, Pope John Paul's decree, a welcome shift in the Catholic stance. A welcome shift in Catholic stance. Now let me ask you a question. If you had a choice, would you rather rent or own a place in heaven? If you had a choice, would you rather rent or own? Would you prefer that Jesus was your landlord instead of your Lord? A little food for thought there. Unfortunately, Jesus is not in rental or leasing. He's not into that. The title I've given my message, however, is To Rent or To Own. To Rent or To Own. Now, I remember well, very well, in fact, the popularity of Pope John Paul II. Now, many of you hearing this message will be able to relate to that. Pope John Paul II, he was advocated as the people's pope. The people's pope. And was well liked by many, of course. The pope's opening declaration, according to Mr. Swick, bluntly demonstrated John Paul's great courage in declaring, now are you ready for this, in declaring that there is no heaven. There is no heaven. Strange, I thought, coming from a Catholic pope. Well, next he'd be saying there's no child abuse in the Catholic Church. However, that in itself is another sermon. But he did also say, not only is there no heaven, there also is no hell. Well, I immediately thought, no gain, no pain. No gain, no pain, which would indicate to me that there's a lot of Catholics rotting away in no man's land, with no hope from the Pope. Oh no. However, he went full circle and also declared that rather than physical realities, heaven and hell are merely conditions we ourselves, now conditions that we ourselves create when we live close to, or separate from God. Oh, according to a response from some Catholics who would crawl a mile through muck and mire just to lick the pontiff's feet, the Pope's announcement came as somewhat of a relief. There you have it. No heaven? No hell? Oh, ooh. Now, isn't that interesting? Well, what we have here actually is a proclamation from the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, Pope John Paul II. I might add that the current pope has some random thoughts of his own, which I won't get into here. Well, I guess that settles it. Or does it? Huh? If there's no heaven and no hell, then that would mean no gain, no pain. unless you're a child locked inside a Catholic glebe house with a deranged sex maniac who calls himself father. Now, this red flag appeared on August the 6th, 1999. Did you know that God gave us dominion over the earth? Yes, he did. In fact, he said so back in Genesis 1, verse 26. Let's read it, shall we? Now, this was after God made all the animals and the birds and the creepy crawlers and what have you. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Unquote. Who's God talking to there? Who is God talking to there? Us. You, me, us, all of us. Even though we weren't even existing. Adam and Eve weren't born or made until everything else was prepared. I mean, you don't bring your bride to her new home until it's prepared, right? Of course not. In a way, the Garden of Eden was like a wedding gift for Adam and Eve. Of course, they didn't go through all the ceremony of getting married. God proclaimed them as husband and wife, man and woman, what have you. All they had to do was simply move in. Move in. There was no rent to pay, no lease to bear. Everything was perfect. Perfect. So, what went wrong? What went wrong? Sin entered in. Have you got that? Sin entered in. Well, that's not our fault. That's not our fault, you say. Then woman should be to blame. Then woman should be to blame? The guy next door, blame him. The people down the street, blame them. Who? Well, when you lease a property, there are always conditions attached which you must adhere to. You probably all know that. If you don't, you'll be tossed out. Thrown out the door. God has conditions also. Did you know that? God has conditions for you to enter into his kingdom. But they all come under one heading. And it's called sin. Sin. Now, what is sin? Not that we don't know, but I'm using it here as a question. What is sin? Well, sin is anything contrary to the Word of God. Sin is anything contrary to the Word of God. You can mull that over for a while. Now, if you're going to live in God's land, if you're going to live in his land free of charge, then you must adhere to his house rules. Or else. Unfortunately, in the passage of time, God found it necessary to send forth eviction notices to some people. Getting interesting. Today, God's eviction notice reads... Now, all this I said just before this is supposition, suppose, right? Now, today, God's eviction notice might read, "Repent ye and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Repent ye and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, we're not talking about the structure of the house. We're talking about your family. If they also repent and believe, then that includes the house, right? The occupants. I suppose that's quite clear. Unfortunately, even after Jesus came from God the Father and paid your rent, yes, he did, and paid your rent in advance and promised you a mansion in heaven, when your lease had expired on earth, which it does for everyone, our lease on earth does expire eventually. What did we do? When he told us about heaven, when he said, "Come on to me and I will nowise cast you out," what was he talking about? He's talking about a place in heaven for all eternity. Once our lease has expired on earth, when we die, right? And what do? We mocked him. We put him to an open shame. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. God cannot lie. Have you got that? That's important. God cannot lie because everything he says is the truth. Does that make sense to you? Well, to us, we can lie, can't we? Even when we sound like we're telling the truth and we're lying, it's written all over our face. If you stand before a Supreme Court judge, and the evidence is all against you, and you stand there and go, "No, I didn't do that." And the evidence says you did, then you are caught in a lie. A bald-faced lie. Right? God knows before. Before you even do it, God knows you're going to do it. You see, that's God's foreknowledge. He knows everything about you. He knows who's going to be saved and who isn't. Now, you might say, in light of this, well, if God knows that I'm not going to be saved, he's not telling me, isn't he? Well, that's why he gave us his word, isn't it? To tell us how to be saved. But he knows, excuse me, he knows in advance who will reject what took place at Calvary. Jesus going to the cross in your place, in my place. You see, God's foreknowledge precedes his predestination for us. Because he knows who will come to him, he knows also who will not come to him. Now, that may be a little tricky for some to understand, but actually it's basically very, very simple. God's foreknowledge preceded his predestination. Now, I have a sermon on that done just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and you can check it out, and you'll get more information on it. But I want to leave it there for now and carry on with the rest of what I have to say. God cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. Can you deny yourself? Well, you can't, no. You can't deny who you are. If somebody looks at you and say, "You're a bald-faced liar." Well, you can argue with the person and say, "Well, now what makes you say that? What makes you say that? Why do you call me a bald-faced liar? You don't know me that well." No, because what you just said to me is not the truth. That's a lie. Well, it's easy to see it in the face of other people, whether they're lying or not. Some are pretty good liars, but some are pretty good at the truth as well. So I kind of split it down the line, okay? You see, God, though, cannot lie, because he would deny himself if he did. You see, God is the truth, the way, the truth, right? The way and the truth, isn't he? So he cannot deny himself. You will never be, once you go to heaven, you will never be homeless. You will never be homeless. If you trust and obey, if you trust and obey, there's a mansion waiting for you and me, thank God, in glory. There's a mansion waiting for you and me in glory. Now, I'm going to refer to some scripture here. Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I want to go through a couple of verses with you, if you will permit me, please. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. I'm going to read it. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and every word you can bank on it. It's true. It's real. Listen, please, very carefully. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Verse 20, but, Jesus says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Aren't those wonderful words? Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Read them over yourself. That's God's promise to us. That's his word. That's his truth. On the other hand, if you've denied God by denying his son and what took place at Calvary, well, in that case, there will be no mansion in glory for you. But instead, here's the option. It's either glory or it's a fiery domain among the lost in hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. Wow! Now, can one believe in heaven without believing in hell? Oh, I'm not going to heaven, I don't think, but you know, at least I'll just go to the grave, I'll be dead, and that's the end of it. No. Wrong. No, there are two places you go. I mean, you might look at your body 10 years, dig up your grave and see your rotten or withered bones or whatever lying in a coffin, but your spirit is not there. Your spirit is lifted up. It becomes a living soul, and it either goes to heaven to be in the presence of Jesus Christ for all eternity, or it will go directly to hell, suffering for all eternity. The devil and his angels, they're looking for new recruits all the time. The real question has to be, is God your landlord? Or is there another place you're moving to? I ask you now, are you prepared? Are you prepared to break your lease with the underground? Are you ready to sign a new lease in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal? Are you? Isn't it time to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Isn't it? Treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, I'm like everybody else, I guess, in the beginning. I mean, we're not born angelic or with a guarantee of a place in heaven, are we? It's how we live our life and also how we live it for Christ. They go together. Are you living your life for Christ, or are you just kind of wandering about saying, yeah, sure, I go to church once in a while. Sure. I believe in God. I think just about everybody believes in God. So what's the big deal? The big deal is you have to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the big deal. Do you believe? Do you believe that where your heart is, there your treasures will be also? But you can't use your treasures in hell, because a treasure is something that you treasure, right? And you won't treasure what you're going to get in a fiery hell. So, isn't it time to lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven? I mean, right now, don't put it off for another day. Don't say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I'm pretty sure I'm saved. No, you're not pretty sure. You're not sure at all if you're pretty sure. Be absolutely sure, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yes, there's a great eviction notice coming one day, and it's eternal. It's not temporary, it's eternal. In part, it will read, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what it will say. That's what it says today and will say tomorrow and every day thereafter. Are you under the blood? Are you under the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ? According to what happened at Mount Calvary, when he was crucified, shed his precious blood as a covering for your sin and the sin of the whole world if they but repent and believe in this gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you one of them? Are you sure? Or are you just believing what somebody else told you and you're getting on with your lackadaisical lifestyle? You haven't made a change. You're still continuing the way you were. You cannot continue on in the sinful state you are without some fire insurance. And that's the blood of Christ. That's your fire insurance. And the only way you can obtain it is through the blood of Christ. Are you sorry? Are you sorry for your past? If you are, you could be even sorrier. In fact, you will be even sorrier for your future once you meet it head on. I pray that you will make a decision and make it soon, because tomorrow may be too late. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, no, I heard about Christ, you know, and what happened at Calvary and all that. You know, and I've been going to church more regular. And the Pope told me, if you're a Catholic, you're guaranteed heaven. Is that what the Pope told you? That's what he used to tell me when I was a Catholic many moons ago. Don't worry. Just keep on keeping on. God's got your number. You're guaranteed a place in his kingdom. Huh? Is that true? No, it's not true. Oh, I pray that you will make a decision today, even before you turn in tonight. Don't go to bed tonight and saying, well, I hope I'm saved. Are you talking to your spouse? And you, are we saved? What do you think? Am I saved? Am I a good person? You're a good person. Am I? Are we both good people? And they look at each other and say, yeah, I'm a good person. And you're a good person, too. You don't cheat on me. Ah, we're both good people. So we're going to heaven. That's a lie right from the pit. There's only one way to heaven. That's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I cannot emphasize that enough. That's the only way, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Got a little bit of a tune here at the end, and then I'll close. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Okay, when Jesus sees the blood that you are covered by because you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when he sees it, he will pass over you, and you don't have to worry about hellfire because you'll be going up to glory where Jesus lives. Okay? I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that if there's one of you out there that's not absolutely sure, absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to heaven when you die, that you make that decision quickly. Because don't forget, tomorrow is promised to no one. God be with you. I'm praying for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.